today.
You don't have to make a joke. We're just testing.
Well, maybe we keep it for the joke.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of American Daisies. I'm Arjun.
And I'm Akash.
Today, it is that time when we do our community episode. This is community episode numero dos. I don't know why I didn't say that in Hindi.
Yeah. What is number in Hindi?
I don't know, actually. What is number in Hindi?
I know do. I don't know number.
This community episode do. I can't wait for community episode theme. We are going to get to emails and tweets, but we wanted to start off because today I was told by Facebook and Twitter that it's International Women's Day. I actually think I woke up from an email from something that told me it was International Women's Day.
My girl told me yesterday.
What did she say?
She was like, don't make fun of me when I post something on Instagram.
Wait, did she yet?
No, she hadn't posted anything yet. I just started laughing hysterically. She said it was
Why? Why'd you start laughing?
I don't know. You know, we were like, let's talk about... actually, I got this text. So we were trying to figure out what to talk about. Because y'all don't email us enough, you stupid idiots. And Arjun suggested International Women's Day. I was like, no, I don't want to. And then Prashant actually just texted me, like while you were in the shower.
It got uncomfortable.
Got a little weird. I don't know how to.
I was in the shower. It's all good.
He texted me. He was like, yo, did you pay for your own college? And I was like, no, actually, my mom, even though she was broke, would not let me pay for my own college. Now, I was broke too, but like she was just like, no, I'm absolutely paying for your college. And I was like, that's just so dope. Like,
right. I mean, the reason that I wanted to talk about International Women's Day is not because of the concept, you know, it's just that I've been raised. There are so many strong women that have made a huge difference on who I am.
Right.
And it's not just my mother who has been an enormous influence, but my nani has been a huge influence for
me.
My sisters are both still. I have two older sisters. They're still huge influences on me. And the relationship that I have with them is important. I have Taijis, I have cousins, it's just everybody. But then outside of family, you know, my friends, I have a lot of close friends that are female that have really helped me understand the world around me. And you're trying to make a joke.
This is real though. Biggest influences in my life, my nani, my mom, and my mosi, the three women who raised me.
Right.
But you know what they never did? What my mom never talked to me about, even though she's the strongest person I know, she never talked to me about sexism. She never talked to me about racism. She never talked to me in any term of like, oh, I'm a feminist, I'm such a proud Desi. None of that. Now, the Desi thing kind of rubbed off on me, but this idea that like we're victims and we need to rise above this oppression or whatever, like that always turns me off because I'm just like, no, we're not.
But what if it's not? What if we reframe it and it's not about saying that like, look, we're victim, it's not, but it's like, let's celebrate this community.
Sure, I'm more into that.
Yeah. So, because that's how I take it. But you know what I mean?
I get so put off with the overcompensation of like, I literally got sent an article today of X number of comics who smashed the patriarchy. And I'm like, what? Patriarchy? It's a comedy club. Go start your own show. Women will show up. There's a lot of people doing that. There's YouTube. There's an internet. You know what I mean? Like, there's internet activists, which is a hilarious concept that we've touched on. But like, you know what I mean? There is a platform.
But is there a way for you? Because I feel like this theme comes up for a lot for you. And like this, like not wanting to ever feel victimized or get caught up in your own victimization.
Right.
That seems to be a theme for you.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's like a way of still holding true to that, but acknowledging that it's still a good boys club. That there's like a boys club inherent.
I compartmentalize things a lot. So maybe that's bad. Maybe that's good. But I've compartmentalized into never like, I don't even want to see that thing. Because acknowledging it to me gives it power, gives it truth that I don't want to
give. That's interesting. But that's interesting because for me, it's like when we talk about meditation, we talk about therapy, right? It's with awareness. Once we bring awareness to it, then we can move through it, right? So I think if we just pretend it's not, right? Let's say that I have an insecurity about something and I just pretend it's not insecurity, but I'm just like, I don't want to give it power. Actually, in the darkness, it actually gets more power. That's what I've come to learn, right? And so I'm wondering that isn't there a way because
I don't think I bury it necessarily or like hold it in this place. It's like what it's like to me the best way. And this is I tweeted this and people got pissed. I couldn't understand it. But it's like to me the best way to shatter a glass ceiling is not to see it. Like, ooh. I'm just going to keep going. People got heated when I said that.
I just don't know if that's realistic, though. You know what I mean? And that's where I would go, because I think that the best way to shatter the glass ceiling is to see it and then say I'm going to shatter it. But I think it's important to see, it's like we've talked about, it's important to know like the way that the world perceives us and what cage people put us in, right? Because then we can know, oh, this is what you're trying to say about me. This is what my obstacles are going to be to get what I want.
I disagreed with what you said from the start. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but why does anybody else define how I see me?
No, it doesn't define how you see you, but it's important to know that, like, if I'm going into an audition and if I'm brown, or I'm just using the audition, but if I'm going into an interview and they see me as brown, and let's say that it was something that Varun, remember Varun Leela, the agent who came on our show?
Yeah.
He's talked about, for him, like, going out to bars and, like, whining and dining people, yeah. You know, and then some people don't know if you'll be able to do that. If I know that that's something that they're going to perceive of me, I don't have to take that upon myself. You're right. But I can then know that when I'm engaging with that person that I have to factor in that interaction and like fight against that.
I misspoke early on.
Okay.
I didn't want to interrupt you, but I don't, however you see me doesn't define me is what I'm saying. Like I will tell you how to see me.
Sure.
So you can see me a certain way. Like as a 5'7" Indian kid with a voice that ain't all that deep, people are going to expect something from me. Within 30 seconds of meeting me, that expectation is gone. You talk to me for 5 seconds, that's gone. You know what I mean? Like, I define how I see. No matter how you see me, within 10 seconds of talking to me, I will shatter that definition, and here's the new one. So what does it matter how you see me? Because I'm going to define myself very well, very quickly.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have an eloquent response
and
to that.
And I also always, I'm sorry to interrupt you,
no,
but this
that's
idea,
good.
If you have pride in who you are, like if I'm truly proud to be Indian, pride doesn't ask for handouts. Like, that's a thing. Pride refuses help to a fault.
Sure.
So if I see all these proud desis in entertainment, like, oh, white people need to give us this, essentially is what they're saying. That's not pride to me. That's asking for things, which is the opposite of pride.
But I think that your pride takes you to a level of hubris.
Sure.
So I think that there's, I mean, don't, let's not lift pride to a degree where there's no fault.
Great, don't have hubris.
I don't know what you're trying to say as a defense from that.
The 1% that we aspire to be, every one of them got hubris.
And
Donald
hubris. I think there are flaws inherent with what they're saying. I think that now you're cutting at a difference of success, the definition of success. And I don't necessarily
know. The definition
know.
We cut toward is capitalistic success. Of
that's the definition. That's the definition you cut towards. That is definitely not the definition.
The definition
I cut
people
toward.
Cut toward in this context is not, hey, let's be more spiritual people. So white people stop holding us back as minorities so we can all spiritually ascend. It's not that.
I think
it's,
that's a part of it.
I want this role on this show. I want this position at this job. I want to get.
But part of that is
whatever.
So that they can be a part of the community.
I don't want to make 79 cents for the dollar.
Yeah, but that's using it as they're using that as an example of the ways that they are not
capitalistic examples. All of them. There is no like, hey.
But that's because we live in a society that's completely capitalistic.
Sure, but I'm only speaking within the context of this society. I'm not speaking within the context of a utopia. We want to strive for utopia, sure, but then this whole conversation is different. We're talking about the way this conversation applies to the world today. And the way this conversation applies to the world today is a materialistic world, and that's how we see it, and we ask for things, and the most materialistic, boss-ass people all got hubris. I'm talking about men. I'm talking about Indra Nooyi at Pepsi. I guarantee you, she arrogant as fuck. You get to talk to her. You ain't telling her nothing.
By the way, if you're listening and want to join us so
you
can
come.
You
are our dream guest.
We would love to do that.
Dream guest.
Well, you got way off of International Women's Day, though.
I killed it, though.
I mean, you definitely have some strong arguments. They don't resonate with me because I think there's something that you forget about as young people, and you've worked past it, and you've gotten past it. But there are things that people internalize, right? And the way that you are seen, and the way that people reflect back at you, I think that has a part of your formation of your identity. And you fought against that, right? So that influence definitely was present in the shaping of who you've become.
Yeah.
But I don't know that everyone's going to be the same as you with that. And so I don't think just because you've been able to surpass that is it like you can dismiss the power of it. And
listen,
I think that's what I respond
to. I might do the same thing that other people do to me, whereas like Andrew and I have been talking about this a lot. It's like, don't just shut me down because you disagree with what I say, which is what we deal with a lot as comics. Like, I'm going to say something you're not going to agree with. You're going to shut it down. You're ignorant, whatever. I might be doing the same thing with like these posts I see where I'm just like, oh, shut up. But then essentially, this is a healthy dialogue to have.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, I think we're just going to agree to disagree. But
well, I think that for me, it's I actually have to think about like what is it? There's something that doesn't resonate fully with me with what you're saying. Because listen, I agree that you know we have avenues. Like I think that I don't. You've definitely in our conversations, I've become turned to more. It's like yeah, you know what? Right. We have avenues to make difference. I don't think me wanting a show like me wanting to be on Fox, and like or me wanting to be on CBS and saying that CBS is not doing good things because it's a Caucasian broadcasting system. I don't know that that's me asking for a handout. I think I would argue that that's me asking for like, let's all have a like an equal opportunity here in this situation. Okay. I don't think that's, I don't agree with that as the same thing.
Let me say two things.
Please
and this
do.
Is, and I know we get very entertainment focused on this, but,
it's natural because like we, that's what we come from. So
sure,
it's, you know,
it still
yeah.
applies to a broader context. You sure. and I talked about how this pilot season that happens every year where they cast all the new shows,
mm-hmm.
it's drying up completely. No one knows what's happening, mm-hmm. right? TV as we know it is dying. Now that goes to the point, this point I'm about to make, which is the world is changing at a clip in which none of us were prepared for in our generation. So this aspiration you have to be on a show on CBS, it's a dying medium anyway. The youth that's on the internet is a much more... We had Timothy De La Ghetto on here. He's an Asian dude who's shorter than me. Women look at him like he's the cutest thing on earth. And so whatever we think the world is already changed well beyond anything we could understand. So these ideas we have of like, I aspire to this. Why are we aspiring to these things that they're already archaic?
So you're cutting it that we shouldn't even aspire to these. So you're saying that, like, let's say this is a good boys club. Just ignore it. Don't even try to aspire to it. So you're saying don't even try. That's a fairly radical way of looking at it.
I mean, don't let it bother you. Like, yeah, sure, that's a good old boys club, but it is an old boys club. It is a dying off club.
But it still has power. Don't diminish that it's power.
They have power. Right. They have power. But I think the best way...
So then let me ask you this question. Okay, so let me ask you this question. If that, let's take this then, right? So let's take for female comics. That because that's how you started with this.
Right.
Let me ask you this. You have female comics that, let's say that they're like, all right, it's a boys club. How do I break out? Whatever. And they want to start their own thing. What do we say to them to make it easier for them to do? What are you saying in your theory of this? Which is a presumptuous thing to do. We understand that. But I'm just curious. I want to follow this out.
General advice to any woman is you are 50% of the population. There's nothing holding you back. You guys support each other. We should do better, sure, but to expect us to do more for you, that only weakens you. You got, like, Tina Fey out there hiring women. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are women in power hiring women. There was another, who's the redheaded girl in the Bin Laden movie, Zero Dark Thirty, whatever it's called?
Oh, Jessica Chastain.
Jessica Chastain has talked about
started,
like,
yeah, no, she started a production company.
Yeah, like, this is a thing that's happening, so that's empowering.
Right.
Us being in a position of power and then hiring more women... It's not empowering to me. It's like lending a helping hand, which is cool. But if you really want to be empowered, go do that Tina Fey, Jessica Chastain thing.
Right.
Any woman in any position.
Right. No, I hear that. And I think that is something to celebrate is the fact that that stuff is happening. I will say from the other side, if I'm positioned power, this is my thing about diversity. I don't see why I wouldn't want to have women working with or people like I'm someone that believes, especially in the arts. And I think it's relevant for everything. When you're creating something that requires creativity, you want tension. And where I find that tension to be formed is when you have people that are coming from different places.
Sure.
And so I don't understand the idea of like, when people like have homogenized writers' rooms or boardrooms or executives, I don't really understand that in general because...
Here's where it came from. And then I think I've shown you this. There's
no, I mean, I know where it came from and I just disagree with it.
Well, sure. But if you just like, if look up, everyone who's listening, look up, there's like a racial dot map of America and it just has different dots representing where different races are in America.
Mm-hmm.
And so like green is Asian and yellow is Indian or whatever.
Right.
You'll look at the dots and then outside of like a certain number of areas, there are so many white dots that represent white people. It's staggering.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're saying studies are coming out saying we support diverse things more. Mm-hmm. But again, that's a new thing in this changing world. Whereas before, people wanted to see people who look like them.
Sure.
We want to see people who look like us. White people ain't that different. And the country is so much whiter than we want to admit. And that's where it came from. Whether it's
I don't know that it's more white than I wanted to admit. I just don't want that to matter that much.
I mean, if it didn't matter, we wouldn't be doing this podcast.
Sure, but I'm saying that that's where I want to move towards. I'm not acknowledging it. I know it does matter. That's why we're doing this podcast. I mean, I'm not, I agree with you, but I'm saying that like my goals are like, how do we shift things? How do we leave it better for the people behind us? And your thought, and I mean, I agree with that. I mean, we started this ourselves. Nobody's been helping us with this. I mean, we have partners and that's
great. Y'all ain't been helping either. Dumbass listeners.
But it's, yeah, we started because what we want, we wanted to see like how to make a difference, but not just for us, but for the future.
And
then, right?
And this is our mindset. And my mindset in particular is like, I don't want to wait on some dude to hand me, hey, you want to do a podcast about being Indian? Some white dude at some great network. Like, listen, we don't have a ton of listeners, but we started with way less, mm-hmm. and we built from within ourselves. And to me, that's worth way more,
right,
than somebody coming and saying, hey, Here's an opportunity, young brown man.
Well, let's do this. I wanted to honor International Women's Day because I wanted to celebrate and show gratitude for the women that have meant the world to me. So, you know, for my mother, for my sisters, like I said, I also have my friends. I want to shout out my manager, who's a woman who, and my agent. I have one of my agents is a woman, and they've both been instrumental in my growth. My therapist is a woman. Like, I'm surrounded by incredible women that have really helped me. And I know the value of that. And I think the people that dismiss... I think the people that dismiss anything based on just because they're different, I think I understand that. I mean, I can come to an empathetic understanding of it from a standpoint of you fear difference and you want to feel better by being surrounded by what's reflected as yourself, but you are missing an opportunity to grow. You are missing an opportunity to expand, and you are missing an opportunity for richness that... It really has that has made my life just better. Truthfully. Sure.
I also think that percentage of people is way smaller than it used to be. And maybe even we think.
I think it's showing up in different ways. And I've seen it professionally a lot. I see writers' rooms that they want, and it might not be gender-wise. Maybe gender-wise they're diverse, but maybe not diversity of thought. Maybe not diversity.
Diversity, we've talked about this, actually.
That's the most important thing to move
independently
towards.
We came to a similar conclusion. You are talking about writing this blog for Huffington Post, which I think is important because they're super the exact same thought all
uh-huh,
the time.
Uh-huh.
And diversity is not just looking different, being different gender. Diversity of thought is sorely lacking.
Super important.
And we don't have it because everybody just on Twitter just agreeing
Echo
with
chambers.
Each other
Echo
and then
chambers.
Yelling at people who disagree, mm-hmm. dismissing them as idiotic mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. we all just hang out with people who think the exact same
mm-hmm.
as us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't have disagreements that are healthy, and Barack Obama's addressed this to college kids. There's a speech where he's like, you think it's okay to not talk to somebody if they disagree with you? No. You
right.
should have these disagreements and right. talk about them. It's
no, it's massively important.
And we don't
it's
have
massively
it.
Important. I think that as we move towards a more where there is a beautiful shift that people are moving away from just a lot of times people that were different colors than you, right? That's what it was 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Because we were more segregated, we were more tribal. Now that things are definitely shifting, and like because of exposure, because of whatever reasons, like we're integrating at a much higher rate.
Looks wise.
Yes, racially, yes. But then, you know, coming from experience of like, you tend to, you know, listen, birds of a feather flock together. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, that's a natural sort of thing. But what we need to aspire to is to fight against that impulse. That's how we grow. That's how we evolve. We should move away from, I don't even know how long we've been talking, but we should move away
18
from...
18 minutes of killing it.
Oh, my God.
18 minutes of straight fire.
We should move to...
Ladies, I'm taken. Stop I'm, hitting on me. Take, delete that email you're crafting right now asking me to marry you. So empowering.
I'm oh
also
God.
The death threats. I don't need those. Okay, tired of them. Don't need them anymore.
I love that you were you just took away everything that you just said with those last 30
what?
Seconds.
Dog, we need comedic relief. You're sitting here looking through emails. Nobody sees what you're doing.
I actually haven't even gotten the emails.
I put my
yet.
Phone away so I wouldn't get distracted. Arjun is looking through his email. Was I gonna fill it with 20 seconds of dead air while you searched?
I mean, we could edit.
We could do that.
Okay, let's go to I want to leave this person anonymous. They offered an incredibly vulnerable email to us, which we are glad we get a chance to respond to. First of all, incredibly humbled and honored. This person had lost their father, and you know they you know in their writing to us, they said that stumbling upon our podcast has helped this person understand their father's unique immigrant experience and helped this person explore it. And this person said that that our podcast, it helped their grieving process.
And she is International Women's Day. We ain't really narrowing the field.
All right, fair enough. Like, okay, so this...
Like, oh, she, now I know who it is.
All right, fair enough. Well, she...
You didn't say it was a woman. Now I know.
She responded to it, and I just want to thank you for offering that to us. That means the world to us. I don't even know how to respond to that because it's really incredibly humbling. But it did interesting that, you know, we're talking about this on International Women's Day, and I'm going to read a little bit of this. This is quotes from this person. It also enforces the continuous reminder of my mother, who, like many other Indian wives, was completely dependent on her husband and feels helpless without his support and love. Though she has her adult children taking care of her and absolutely ensuring that she will never be left alone on her own, a life without her husband is still a frightening prospect. She, one thing I've learned from my mother is that despite being told by her family and friends that she is full of many talents and abilities, she openly professes that she completely founded her identity with my father, and without him, she does not know what her identity is. We talk about incredibly strong South Asian women.
Right.
Is this something that you've seen in the South Asian women that you know? In the generation above?
I've seen it to a degree. But, like, I also, I guess I could think it's about 50-50 probably. Women who would be like that and women who would be like, I mean, look, this sucks, but, like, I'm not going to stop doing what I need to do. I mean, like, there'll be...
No, I lost you there. What do you mean?
I know, like, 50% of the women would be helpless without their husbands and 50% of the women would be fine.
No, I'm sorry. Let me make more how a lot of them founded their identity through their marriage and their children.
I think children especially.
Children especially.
All South Asians, I think, do that.
Yeah, maybe even South Asian. I was just thinking about my mother in this context, but in thinking about my father, same thing.
Think about the career pressure they put on their children. A lot of that is I define myself and how good of a parent I am, and therefore how good of a person I am through how successful you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not just a gender thing. It's an interesting thing. This is not something I feel comfortable speaking too much about because I'm not a married South Asian woman. But I would love, and I would like be, you know, speculating and speaking for other people, but I would like to open the space for people, our South Asian women listeners out there, our South Asian mothers that are listening. I would love to hear your thoughts on that. Is that something you agree with? Is that something that you struggled with? How did you cope with that? Are you still coping with that? I think that's a really interesting conversation that I would love to have, in the community. She also said that she was looking for support groups for Desi Widows. And this person's in the tri-state area, and she said that she only found one meetup group in that way, which encompassed divorced, separated, widowed, and Desis. I don't know about any of these. I mean, I'm going to reach out to Sahara about that, see if they know any. But if y'all know any, please reach out to us of any organizations or support groups that you know of that do this work and create a support community for this subset of community of our South Asian widows. It would be great for us to be able to put that out there. That's really all I had to say about that email, because again, I'm not a South Asian woman.
Yeah, but thank you for sending that.
Truly, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that I can't stress. Akash and I, we want to be conversation starters, but you know, we only have our experience that we come from. You know, we can mainly speak to a young South Asian male perspective, and we can speculate on other experiences. But getting emails from y'all out in the community, that really helps us expand what the scope of this podcast can deal with. Because, like I said, we want to do this for all of us, including Akash and myself. But like, so we really do. Like, Akash is gonna make jokes about how y'all are stupid. I'm just gonna say what we really would love is to have your help, you know, so that we can make this as powerful and as open and as expansive a community space as possible.
I know it's not easy to talk because you guys are so stupid.
Oh my God.
But
you couldn't have waited like 2 minutes. I had just laid out something so like.
But if you could manage to get your Neanderthal fingers to a computer or a smartphone, a smartphone, which is opposite of the dumb person that you are. And manage to string together enough words for an email or maybe a tweet, we would appreciate that.
I'm going to head over to Twitter at all. Did you want to talk about this one? Or?
No, we did get an email from a Muslim female who just discovered our podcast and spoke about how she listened to the Aman Ali episode.
Mm-hmm.
And
right,
you
right.
seemed kind of hurt that he put the Muslim identity before being Indian or South Asian. And
yeah, I was surprised that I was hurt. You know, and reading that email, it made me reflect back on, like, why did I? Because I was. I think I was surprised by that, and I didn't know why. And I don't have a strong answer except that I'm, as someone who felt isolated from a community, having the community within it like isolate each other more just felt not good.
So what's interesting, she didn't necessarily have like a concrete answer. I think mm-hmm. she was kind of figuring out as she emailed us.
Mm-hmm.
But she kind of makes it seem like she's isolated from the South Asian community. Like she she doesn't identify with anything she sees in Bollywood. She's hijabi. Mm. There's nothing in Bollywood that represents hijabi people at
mm-hmm.
all. She says she doesn't have any Hindu friends except for one who's Guyanese Indian, and we've talked about that. That's a different right. thing. But she does agree with what I said in the end, as you all should at all times, that Islam is very life-encompassing, so it doesn't really go behind anything.
Right.
And
that makes sense, and I totally understand that. But that's interesting, though, that we maybe, you know, there's a flip side. We were talking, focusing on how they focus on, you know, putting their identity first, and maybe it's that we haven't been as open with the community.
There's also like, that. And also, and like, mentions she's hijabi, so people see her as hijabi Muslim before Indian or Pakistan right. or anything. Like, there's no country. I think she said she was Indian, but there's no country. You just see Muslim when you see
right. That's true. You don't see ethnicity. You just see a religion.
Because it's such an identifying marker, I think, of like a specific one that we're like, oh, okay, that. So it was interesting. It was an interesting email.
Appreciate interesting that. Thoughts. Definitely think it's a thing. If you guys have thoughts in response, you can tweet at us or, you know, write them emails. I think we're on Facebook still, but I don't really know.
Who knows?
Who checks Facebook
besides uncles and aunties?
Can I tell you this,
and
though?
And gets upset about what other super, uncles and aunties are saying.
Super random. Tom Brady congratulated Peyton on Facebook, and I thought that was funny to me that he used Facebook as a medium
sometimes
to do that.
Celebrities will do that sometimes. Why? I guess because there's no character limit. So you
neither is there on Instagram.
Yeah, but Instagram, you gotta like, you know what I mean?
But it's just the same thing. You still have to press more. Like, it's not like it's any different from a standpoint of, like, accessibility. Mm. I was just surprised. I was like, Tom Brady, you're supposed to be, like, cool, right?
Well, yeah, I probably screenshotted it and put it on his Twitter. And then Instagram, he might just be like, "Why? You get it. I'm good looking. My wife's good looking. What you need? You need more about this? My wife does this for a living."
What did you see on Twitter that we needed to talk about? I'm looking
some
at it.
Some girl hitting on you a bunch.
Really?
Yo, girls are getting at Arjun now that he's on TV a lot.
Also because I was shirtless a lot. What yeah. up? I will tell you this. Oh, have we talked about this on the podcast? The responses I've gotten from some of the, by some South Asian men who have said that they didn't believe that I was Indian until they saw my name because they'd never seen someone be badass on the show.
That's dope.
That was interesting to me, and it kind of made me sad that, like, it speaks to something that you and I have talked about a lot, is that how we've been portrayed out as South Asian men out in the world is as beta, as desexualized. Right. And it was sad that that had been not necessarily internalized, but something that, like, because I'm getting a ton of people that are responding in very positive ways, but it made me think that those young South Asian people, you know, some young South Asian men that were reaching out to me to say thank you.
Right.
It made me be like, oh shit, what have they been experiencing? How are they getting that same love? Are they being reflected back in a way that it's hard not to internalize that they're somehow less than?
Right.
That's been a really intense experience for me, to be totally honest with you. I don't really have anything else to say except that it's been intense. So is there anything to talk about?
We're supposed to talk about how I hate it Inside Out.
No, but first, before Twitter. Oh, don't worry, I hadn't forgotten.
We had 30 minutes, so let's just get into it. Inside Out was the worst movie I've seen in at least 2016, definitely probably 2015 also. I might go all the way back to like...
I ain't even listening to you because I'm still looking at the community because I care about them more than I care about you.
They ain't saying
nothing. Nothing? They liked stuff. That's what I'm hearing. Thank you. Thank you for reaching out to the things that you responded to.
Yeah, I actually appreciate that.
And Not Your Mule, hashtag Not Your Mule, which is a really intense name. This is She Daily. Laughing at how y'all roasted Miss Rachel's pronunciation of collard greens. That was one of the more fun moments of the podcast.
Collard greens.
Okay. Inside Out.
Oh, it's just so bad.
How? I don't understand.
I got bored on a plane watching that movie.
How?
People are so offended that I didn't like this movie.
I'm not offended.
What is so good about
it? I'm not offended. I'm genuinely curious. I will talk about
it. It was unfunny. I thought it was low stakes. oh no, this girl might lose her emotions in this make-believe amusement park of emotions. It's just stupid and idiotic and doesn't make any sense, and I didn't laugh at all. In the end, I get, but like, I was so just completely uninterested, I don't want to use again, but I was just done at that point of like, oh, it's okay to be
so
sad.
What were your expectations before you went into this movie?
A good movie. A movie that's funny. Up.
Okay.
Up. Give me Up.
Up was great. Up was great.
Taught me that emotions were okay when I almost cried in the first 5 minutes.
Right. This movie didn't hit you like
in the slightest.
That's so funny. When the elephant, who was her imaginary friend, like jumped off the wagon wheel to push her up, that didn't hit you?
Didn't care.
Oh my goodness.
Didn't care.
This is so funny because here's what y'all don't know about Akash. Akash is as emotional as any person I've ever met. He is still learning to be comfortable with your vulnerability. I can say that straight. But that's why I thought this movie would be interesting for you, is because it talks about vulnerability so much and in like such a beautiful way.
Bro, there's nothing funny in that movie
at all. Not about being funny, man. It's about being poignant.
Yeah, okay. Listen, if I want to see a poignant movie, don't make it a cartoon.
That doesn't make sense. Up was poignant. Up wasn't that funny.
Up, I felt immediately. Up made me feel feelings. Up was high stakes. This man lost his wife, who he loved with all his heart, from the time he was a child.
And this kid was running away from his family. Have you ever moved?
Yeah.
Like the transition from moving?
I moved when I was 17. That's a terrible time to move. I just figured out life in my high school. I moved to another high school. You know what I did? I figured it out. This stupid idiot girl can't do it.
Oh my God.
God, she's a loser.
You got no
sense. I love hockey. No one here loves hockey. Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Oh, what do I do?
God help the child that is yours. God help.
Shut your ass up, bro.
God help.
Learn to play double dutch.
Oh, my God.
Everybody comes together over double dutch. Damn. What are we doing?
Why'd this turn into a Friday movie?
Oh, man.
Oh,
what
man.
What are you doing?
That's so intense that you had no sensitivity for that.
Could not care less.
It does speak to that you had no sensitivity more so than a flailing in the. It's not.
It's seriously the worst movie I've seen in years, and I'm being honest.
That doesn't make. But you. But here's what's funny is that you're only like you can't break that down from anything technical. You can't break that down for any other reason except for the way that it makes you feel, which is incredibly sensitive stuff. Because you're a storyteller.
It's a low stakes story.
What do you mean it's a low-stakes story? Like she ran away from her parents.
The third act, she runs away.
Doesn't matter, man. The stakes are...
And she doesn't even go nowhere. She almost gets on a bus.
No, she got on the bus, but was traveling. That's not... You're wrong.
Well, listen, I was done traveling at that point.
I think the stakes of moving are quite high. I think so. I think that you are being wildly...
Unbelievable.
All right, guys, let's all
Toy
hear
Story,
about...
The stakes were high in moving because these toys will die.
They
have
won't
no
die?
Purpose in life.
They won't
they
die?
They have no purpose
that doesn't
in
make,
life.
No, no, see,
what
that's not true.
Buzz going to do if he gets stuck on the street as a toy that only comes to life when no humans are around?
First of all, because he's on the street, no humans around, so he can come to
he
life.
He can't fly. He's a toy.
He can get eaten by dogs. He's not getting eaten by a dog. It's plastic.
This
I don't know
12.
What...
This girl bought a damn bus ticket. She independent.
She bought us to
figure out life.
Oh, man. All right. I don't really know where to go from there except to say the next week actually.
Why do kids argue with their parents so much?
What just happened?
Why is she getting so many arguments with her dad? Dude, go to your damn room and sit there like a good minority kid. You lucky you ain't getting whooped. You lucky you not getting hit with a belt right now, girl. Stupid. Rebellion. I act of rebellion. I'm moving. I'm running away. I can't believe I got sent to my room. Oh no! I gotta sit in this 12 by 12 fortress with nothing but my PlayStation 4 to keep me company.
Oh God.
What a horrendous, low stakes movie.
I wildly disagree. Oh, I thought it was a beautiful, beautiful tale.
Oh man.
We're next week thrilled to announce that we are gonna be at South by Southwest Dropbox.
Yeah.
Which is something I still don't understand. is bringing us out to do live taping of a podcast at South by Southwest. Any of our listeners that are out in Austin, come through March 15th at... I forgot. I think it's noon. I want to say it's noon. We'll tweet about it.
You don't know.
But come through March 15th. We're going to have a dope guest. It's going to be amazing. We're going to interact with the audience in some way we haven't yet figured out. And then we're going to be out in Austin, and it's going to be fucking great.
You're much better at BSing than me. Why couldn't you just say we're out there Monday and Tuesday? Further details will come.
I just
Follow us on our Twitter, at AmericanDesis. Follow us on our emails that we don't send out. AmericanDesisPodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up. Rate the podcast. Review the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast.
And we'll catch you next week live from Austin at South by Southwest. I'm Arjun.
I'm Akash.
And catch you in a couple days.
God bless.